Welcome to the Perfectly Saint Show, episode 583. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy birthday to all the folks carrying Jeff's sorry ass to the end of Elden Ring.
God, this again.
Earl is here.
I'm sure Jeff is doing his fair share of work.
Sometimes.
Try taking those screenshots, or somebody else could be killing him.
And
him, Jeff, we know you are doing your best.
Oh man, I can tell this is gonna go well.
Mr.
Look
Elden
at him picking
Ring.
That stuff off the ground. Great job, Jeff. Great job.
Mr. Elden Ring himself.
Jeff, yeah, yeah.
It's Jeff's birthday, although it'll be past his birthday when you're listening to this, but happy birthday, Jeff.
Thank you.
You are now old.
Yeah, that's like the dividing line, right? 40?
I don't feel old, so.
Feels like a dividing line. Feels like I crossed the Rubicon.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but only good things happen for Caesar after he crossed the Rubicon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Except for the whole being stabbed to death on the floor of the Senate. That's fine.
Who here has not been stabbed to death? Let them speak now or forever hold their peace.
That's what I and we're all dead.
Well, this is a weird afterlife show, I guess. Yeah.
It's going to be afterlife by the time I'm done with the next couple beers.
Well, that doesn't sound particularly great. I don't know. I didn't really follow game news this week. Did anything happen? some stuff came out.
Kirby demo.
Wasn't there a whole lot of Nintendo stuff? Wasn't there a direct?
No.
Oh, there's a Pokemon thing. There? There's a new Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pokemon demo. I tried it out just now.
Well, you mean the Pokemon? Well, no.
Or not Pokemon. I'm sorry.
The Kirby demo.
This is going great.
The next generation of Pokemon games were announced. Pokemon Violet and Scarlet were announced on Sunday.
I missed that.
I mean, I guess we should be remiss to not discuss the fact that the world has been at war, or whatever, for the past week or so. So I don't think anybody's really kind of important out anything.
Right, they probably held anything.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
So yeah, this just kind of just dropped on this weekend with no real fanfare. And so I think it's like Pokemon Day. I forget what they dub it or something like that. So,
yeah, and the fact that, you know, the war in the Ukraine is still ongoing has created some like weird stuff within the game industry. Like EA is removing Russian teams from NHL and FIFA.
Some of it I get, and some of it just feels so performative.
Yeah. I have been playing Battlefield, and it's still like, it's weird to beat the Russians now.
Yeah,
and that game is all Russia versus US. Like, that's the entire game. So.
Yeah, and yeah, EA, well, I guess it's all EA doing weird stuff with it, because they removed, and this was, I think this was when we were recording last week, is there like a daily reward or a weekly reward, Tony, that you can get, you can earn?
Yeah, there's normally weekly challenges.
So I guess there was like a Russian, like a smiling Russian helicopter that they removed from the game last week that you could earn. I guess they thought that was in poor taste. They'd be correct.
Right. Like, it's going to be, you can't remove Russians from that game. It's too, like, entrenched. You'd have to, like, redo
aren't
all
they,
the
like,
dialogue.
The villain always in, like, war games? Because, like, I don't know, for the last decade, probably.
In this particular game, I think both the U.S. and Russians are villains based on, like, but then again, it's all multiplayer. There's no, like, story mode. But it's basically, like, there are these refugees who are fighting over these scarce resources available in the future. And, of course, the two superpowers enlist the refugees on one side or the other to fight on their behalf. So it's
what game is this?
Battlefield 5.
Battlefield 2042.
Yeah, not 5. 5. Yeah.
There's no single player?
There's no single player.
Oh, I didn't know.
I think it's the first Battlefield game that didn't launch with any single player. There's like bot mode. Like, alt mode. I figure out in the bot mode. So you could play with bots, but you can't. There's no like story.
There's no campaign. Like, no. Narrative level by level. Yeah, so that's going on, I guess. You said there was a Kirby demo, Jeff? Did you play that?
I did. I played through, there's like, I think, 3 levels on it. I played through 2 of them. I was, like, playing it right before we started here.
Nintendo out there dropping demos, like, not just Nintendo, but on the Switch, demos are, like, something that are making a comeback. Kirby Triangle Strategy has a pretty deep demo.
And I don't know if it has a demo or, but what is that? Chocobo Racing?
Chocobo Racing has like a free mode type thing that transfers over.
I think Pikmin might have had a demo like that. It's not like super uncommon for demos on the Switch. Which is weird because remember on 360 it was like every game had to have a demo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And it was weird. And then it kind of, then we entered that weird phase of like, oh, we're going to do beta's time to something. So you ended up with stuff like, you know, like famously Crackdown came with the Halo 3 beta. And then we started to do like, okay, PlayStation fans get the beta first and then Xbox. Like, you know, the whole point of these things should be to get as many people as possible to play a game, not just a random assortment of people. But what do I know? What do I know?
I like it though. I like because and Square, who, you know, they did Triangle Strategy and Chocobo Racing, they're providing pretty meaty demos too for these that transfer over to the main game.
Yes.
So
and I think that's the big part is that they do transfer over.
Yeah, I mean, especially with something like Triangle Strategy, you know, you're gonna play a good, you know, 2-3 hours of that game. It's the prologue. You don't want to have to repeat that if you pick it up. So, that's neat. And all the unlocks for Chocobo Racing. It's unfortunately that game's not reviewing great, but
is it? I've not paying attention. I just know that at some point, somebody, I guess, because it's been a really good week. Because Gran Turismo 7 was reviewing really well.
Yep.
Triangle Strategies, and then I think one website gave Chocobo Racing a higher score than GT7. And, you know, gamers are very rational and logical creatures who understand that taste is subjective. And, yeah, you know, they took it on the nose. So, yeah, that was fun.
I'm sure that discussion went really well and no one overreacted at all.
Oh no! Never. Like there were people overreacting to the fact that Forza Horizon 5 scored slightly better than Gran Turismo 7 on both sides. Like both sides are absolutely insane. Like,
to be honest, all sides are insane.
Yes, it's true.
Because I feel like sometimes we just don't give enough crap to the PC gaming audience.
Hey.
I feel like it's a bit more nebulous than the console space because, like, I mean, I'm sure there are people, I know there are people who not necessarily are Steam fanboys, but I know people who are, like, anti-Epic Games Store. And granted, some of that is rooted in fairness, but, yeah, there are people who are fans of certain gaming storefronts more than others, which is a weird concept when you hear it out loud.
I am looking at the reviews for Chocobo Racing right now, and it's like, I don't know, like some of it just, like if you rate something 4 of 10, to me that's a bad game, and they're like it's okay, but it falls well short of like its competition like Mario Kart. Okay, well everything falls short of like Mario Kart, so. 4 of 10 is like, to me, is like almost a broken game.
Yeah.
But especially the way things are rated, like, you know, seven, if it's under a seven, like, that is generally, hey, we don't think this is very good, even though, like, five or six should be like, this is fine. But I don't know. I mean, like, scores for Chocobo Racing are all over the place. They range from four all the way up to, I think, a nine. So
is it out?
Sure. It comes out next week.
Well, that's early.
You guys mentioned Gran Turismo also. Is that out?
That is out tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Are you getting it?
It's a very busy first half of the year because we still got Kirby this month. Project Triangle is
tomorrow as well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just got Elden Ring, you just got Horizon. So, yeah, it's a...
It's busy, and it's like, and Jeff, to answer your question, no, I'm not getting GT7 yet. I will get it.
Yeah.
It's just I still am playing Horizon, Forbidden West. I haven't finished Forza Horizon 5.
I was gonna say, which surprise.
Like, yeah, Horizon Forbidden West on the PlayStation 5. Like, I'm playing that. Like, I'm 10 hours into that, and there's probably still like another 25-30 left in it. I don't, and PlayStation games are $70. This one doesn't have the, I think Horizon Forbidden West was the last one you could buy, like, the PlayStation 4 version and get the upgrade for free. Yeah. So you have to pay the $70 if you want the PlayStation 5 version. So I'll just wait a little bit, you know.
Yeah, there'll be tons of sales, yeah, for sure.
And it's same with, like, Project Triangle. Like, I just can't, like, what am I? I'm gonna buy three games this week and not play any of them. Like, that seems like a waste of money.
Sounds like somebody's becoming a gamer,
right? Like, I already have like hundreds of games I haven't played. Do I need to spend like $200 on games?
Yeah, yes. You know, it's shiny, it's new.
It is.
I mean, the other thing, and I think we've had this discussion before, it's like sometimes you wait. Like, even today, like, there was that, was it today or yesterday, there was a mistake with GameStop where, like, you could get $15 off certain games, which made stuff like Pokemon, Arceus, $45.
That was, like, pre-orders, too. It wasn't just, yeah, like...
It wasn't... So, like, yeah, it's like, I mean, I feel like if you don't, if you're a gamer who doesn't know how to game the system now, you are just really hurting yourself. Because, like, it doesn't make it really, I mean, I guess you're a huge, huge fan. It's so little if it makes sense for me to do games opening month, really, anymore. Because you could get a deep discount so soon. Like, we just noted all those games that have come out or are coming out soon. I'm assuming by April, most of them will be cheap or will have something like a, what is that called? A Targets buy two, get one free sale or something to help fill in the library of games that you may not, you know, have picked up in the past 2 months.
Yeah. And then, like, I mean, if you're really patient, like some people we know, you wait around till like 5 months later and the Guardians of the Galaxy shows up on Game Pass. So.
Yeah, I mean, Walter.
He's not bitter about that. The funny thing is,
I only spent like twenty bucks on it.
Yeah, I spent 25. I think the funny thing is, I think we all were like, "Oh, we're going to wait," because Avengers came to Game Pass, and I think we were all like, "Oh yeah, we're just going to wait until it comes to Game Pass," and then like none of us waited until it came to Game Pass. Again,
as we have no patience.
And I mean, I don't mind, you know, buying something here and there, like even if it does show up on Game Pass, like, it's whatever. $25 is like probably less than I spend on lunch in a week, so whatever.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, I guess. It's like, it's not a big deal. Because not every game's gonna come to Game Pass, but yeah, I mean, I think for me the big deal is that I have not actually put a ton of time into the game, so Game Pass would have at least, if I wasn't paying it right away, would have helped right with that. But yeah, and I guess that's the other news. It's like, that's coming to Game Pass next week, I believe.
Yes, I believe the 10th or the 11th. Yeah. I am going to be buying Chocobo Racing or Chocobo GP, I think is what it's called. But I'm buying
kart race.
I'm buying that physically, and you can only get it from Japan.
Really?
They're not doing a physical release here, so I'm like, just so I can get a copy of it, like I am buying it from an import site.
I thought this was for your, because you're doing all of those kart racing.
Yeah, I mean, games. Yes, I enjoyed the original Chocobo Racing, which was on the PlayStation.
Oh, so you actually want it. Got
yeah,
you.
Like I want this for my collection. I was gonna get it anyway, but
I thought you were being held hostage.
No, that's no, it's not. Like I'm hoping it's good. I like the original game. And I like Final Fantasy stuff, so I don't mind, you know, putting money out for it. Jeff, you put out some money for a game that may or may not show up on Game Pass in a few months.
Elden Ring.
And that Jeff is beating all by himself.
How is the Ring of Eldens?
Where should I start? Best game ever? I don't know. Yeah, it's great. I mean, no surprise. Everyone expected it to be really good. And yeah, I'm loving it. I'm very addicted to playing it. It's pretty much all I've done since Thursday night. I think today's the first day where I have actually not played it yet today.
I was going to ask, like, what are you at, about 70 hours now?
I think you said yet.
I am 67 hours deep. Okay. I'm level 74.
Damn.
Yeah. So it was literally just like I sleep, I wake up and do like basic things I have to do, and you know, I'm still off work playing tons of this game. So I've seen a lot of it and it is really great. I don't know what to say. I don't know what you want to know. Like, I know you guys aren't like. It's weird because like me and a bunch of people have been super giddy about this game for the last couple of days. But I think you guys are some of the few people I don't like know that like don't play it. Like none of you are playing it, right?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. So I don't know what you care to hear or not. Or
I mean,
tell us about your journey, Jeff. Come on.
My journey. I am a...
You're following in the footsteps of greatness.
Did you play the tutorial?
Yeah.
A lot of people missed the tutorial.
Really?
Why is this game so hard? Because you don't know how to pick up the Estus flag.
Yeah, maybe you can skip it.
Yeah, it's like, it's like in a pit, right? Like you have to and to me, you don't talk honestly, to like I'm not walking down a pit, like
not in that game.
No. Like that's one of the first things. Like, oh yeah, jump down this hole. I did that in Demon's Souls, and it's like you died. I'm like, fuck you, people.
Yeah, it teaches you all of like you know it's maybe you know 5 minutes long, and it teaches you everything you need to know about like the controls and how to play it, basically.
Yeah, like how to use your shield, how to
use magic, and they've done that. They usually, I'd say at the beginning of their games, have like a little. Like it's like a little road you go down, and you're like, "This is to you know attack. This is to whatever."
Yeah, it's normally kind of forced on you though, right? Like you start
there. I just like to me, you know, this is 67 hours ago now, so I don't know. Like I don't remember being. Yeah, I guess maybe you could have skipped it, but I don't know.
I found that funny when I saw that today that. You're like, go this way to do tutorial, go this way to start the actual game, and like everybody chose like going up the stairs or something. It's just funny.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm playing like a warrior character, whatever, like strong, you know, a lot of strength, can carry heavy things, melee, you know, all that.
Giant shields.
I have a massive shield that looks like a face right now. I mean, it's like the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. It's super heavy. It's like 25 pounds. So I had to actually take off some of my armor, like put on different armor to not be too heavy for it. But there's no way I'm not like playing with that thing. Like, if you've seen that thing, it's amazing.
Does it breathe fire? Because the image you showed
it just, looks
like it breathes fire.
It just, that's just like, it's like a static, like, it just looks like it is, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, but it doesn't do anything. But it, like, it provides further protection than my starting shield. Like, my starting shield does 100% protection against physical damage. But this does that as well as pretty high percentage, like, against, like, lightning and poison or whatever, you know. It's like a strong all-around shield, and it just looks fucking cool. There's no way I'm not playing with it. I don't know. It's such a big game. I don't know where to begin, but I don't know. It's very much like the reviews and stuff say. It's very much Dark Souls, but done Breath of the Wild style. So.
It's like very like a big open world,
yeah,
with Dark Souls combat and kind
and
of like
dungeons. They're dungeons.
Got it.
And they're, you know, and they had, and that's like, I'd say like a big difference or improvement from Zelda. Is Zelda was like, it had all of the shrines, but like they all kind of like looked the same when you got inside them. There wasn't a lot of like. And, you know, they're all really short.
Yeah.
In here, the little things that you'll find can be very short, but they could also be longer than you would expect. You know, Breath of the Wild does that a little bit, too, but they're more, like, mostly really short. But, you know, they don't all look the same. Like, this, like, I don't know, this is very, like, the shrine areas in Zelda, like, were not visually interesting or whatever. This is, like, all super designed. And then sometimes you'll just, like, stumble into, like, here's a whole castle that, like, you could probably just miss and you don't have to do. And it's a full level. Like, it's... I don't know, it's quite an achievement. I'd say, you know, it's about the... In my opinion, it's about the same size as Breath of the Wild's map, but it's denser. Even though, like, I would say... there's not as many quote unquote like shrines like Breath of the Wild, and they're harder to find. They're not like, remember how like in the Breath of the Wild the shrines would be like lit up like orange, you would be able to see them.
Yeah,
and here it's like you just have to like stumble upon these secrets. But more so, it's just that like anywhere you go in the open world is kind of more interesting, and it's just huge architecture and stuff everywhere. You're just like, wow, like I can't believe I just discovered this, and what's the story behind this? I don't know. So it's very much like that's the type of game that it is.
What? So like, I know that like, you know, Demon Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, they all have like some sort of narrative. It's, you know,
yeah,
hard to parse sometimes. What is the basic premise of Elden Ring? Like,
I don't know. It's like the same shit as always. Oh, there was something terrible happened. You're I don't know. Like, I really, like, I don't care. It's all about the kind of atmosphere of it. There is, like, you know, there's people that could tell you this, but.
And is there, like, the, like, are you, like, what, in Dark Souls, you were kind of, like, dead, right? Like.
Yeah, it's not like human. That.
Like, so, like. You're whatever in this world, and you're just exploring it.
Yeah, you're just like a dude. Like, there's none of that, like, being hollowed, you know, and some of them, like, you're hollowed or out if you die, or there's nothing like that.
That always annoyed me. Like, having to go find your corpse, and, like...
Well, there's still that. You still have to...
you have to go find your
never
bag.
Mind.
You don't have to. you could. Often, if you don't have anything on you, I don't care about it. Like, I don't go back.
But, like, your souls or what your currency
stays
there, right?
Yeah, you
want
to get
your
XP,
right?
Yeah.
I see. It's just your souls, though. It's not, like, anything else.
Yeah, well, you know, like, some... I forgot which ones, but, like, if you're hollowed, you couldn't summon people, and then you would have to use an item to make you human, and, you know what I mean? Like, they've...
When
they actually don't...
doesn't do a good job of explaining that shit either sometimes.
This one does a better job of explaining you things. Like, it, you know, everything you get the first time, it'll, like, tell you something. And, like, you could, like, read stuff in the menus. And the menus are not, like, as vague as they used to be. They do, like, a lot of concessions to make it, I think, more forgiving. Like, you know, like, if usually, like, right outside of a boss fight will be, like, a soft checkpoint where, like, if you die, you can start over from there, you know, and you, like, literally walk 2 feet to the boss. Yeah, you have NPC summons that you could summon with, you know, throughout the whole game. You get, like, all sorts of new ones, too, as you explore. But they, like, you could level those up, too. Like, they actually do a lot of things to not make it as asshole-ish towards you. And then here it comes. Like, the way that they decided to balance that is just by making the fucking bosses harder than ever. So, like, everyone that says, like, this is easier, oh, this is the easiest, you know, of these games, was like, they're talking about the changes I said that they made. But, like, again, they just, like, made up for it by, like, being so over-the-top asshole-ish with, like, how hard some of the bosses are. You know, even with, like, the very first big boss of the game is incredibly hard to beat.
And
you know, is it easier? I would say no. Like, you know, like,
some of the complaints I heard about it is that it's also a little bit inconsistent with how it doles out the, you know, quality of life improvements. Like, sometimes you don't have to do, like when you die at a boss, like, sometimes you'll start right outside the boss area or whatever next time.
Mm-hmm.
But other times, like, they've just forgotten to do that, so you have to do the.
No, I'd say they're pretty good. They're very, like, on the front end type stuff that they, like, really, like, made things smoother. My one, like, again, I think this game is a great game, but my one big complaint with the game is just something that they need to iron out, which is, like, when you're summoning people, it too often says unable to summon, like, you're just, like, in error, like, error after error, like, so you're just, like, sitting around waiting forever. I feel like, you know, that's just something that will get better as it goes on. But, you know, when it started off, speaking of my journey, when it started off, the game had no online at all, like, on Xbox anyways. There was no multiplayer. There was no, so, like, there was no signs giving you clues. There's nothing. Like, you're totally isolated. So my first probably 20 to 25 hours of playing this game was unlike how I've ever played a Dark Souls game before. Like, there was no sort of online connectivity on it. And that it made me tough. Like, I had to, I suffered for a couple days there. I'm sure I was complaining to you guys about some of the first couple bosses. They're really, really tough, and I had to take them down on my own. Now I got help.
And you said, like, a lot of them are designed for you to, like, fight with two people, but
yes,
is the game
or more,
so you can have more than two people.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I was. With
two people, so three total.
You, Sean, and Walt could all play.
That would be the most you could do. Yeah.
Okay. Because, like, people were still going, oh, you have to summon people. Like, okay, but, like, how do I play with my friends? Like,
you could do that. It's the same as kind of always. I think it's just, it's done the same way, but you go into your multiplayer settings and you put in a password. So only people with the password will see your sign on the ground, or, you know.
And then I assume they only make progress in one person's game and not everybody's game.
Yeah, if you're getting summoned, like, it's whoever's, like, summoning the people is getting the actual credit for the kill. You still get, like, XP for doing it, like, you know, so there is a reward for you doing it, but if you have not beat that boss in your game, you'll have to beat the boss again.
So, like, all, like, if you're playing with friends, like, you'd have to kill that boss three times.
I would imagine that's how people who play through the game together co-op do it. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
So I guess it's a way of farming souls, too, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. But you know, yeah, we're all planning through the game together. Like, all right, we helped Jeff kill the boss. Now let's go help Chris kill. You know, but that's like, that's what the multiplayer is, fighting bosses. And you know, if you're summoning people, you're summoning people who've played that boss before. So it's, you know, it's kind of what that the multiplayer is. It's just having fun fighting those enemies again. You know,
so like they're not really like exploring with you and hanging out, or.
You could do, like, you know, limited, like, within, like, say if you go into a castle and you're in that level, I think you could probably run that with somebody else. I don't, you know, if I knew you were doing a castle and wanted to do it with me, I would, but I've not done that a lot with just, like, random people and stuff.
Right, but you know, it's usually not like...
Usually like, I'll be killing this fucking guy.
But yeah. It's not like, all right, like, you know, I'm going to hook up with you and Walt tonight, and we're just like gonna like troll around in the world.
And I don't think you can run around I don't think you can run around completely.
When I don't think like there's only one horse too, right? So like if you're a multiplayer, I don't think you can have access to your horse either.
Yeah, if you, which is weird because it's like some bosses are designed to be fought on horse, and again, if you summon people to help you with that boss, you guys are not riding on horses, so it's. It almost makes it harder in a way, like,
right?
You know, this boss is—he's on a mount, so it's hard to reach him. So, and here we all are running around on the ground, getting our asses kicked. But I don't know.
The currency.
I get why they did it.
Is like the currency still the same? Where there's only the one currency, so
yeah.
Like your experience is also what you use to like buy and upgrade stuff.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. They just don't call it souls. That's one thing they just get more consistent with the just call it souls. Like, why the fuck you gotta reinvent this shit every time? Like
runes here.
Yeah, called runes here. There's a new name for what the multiplayer thing is that you put down. It's like, dude, just you know, standardize it so people know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, get familiar with it. You know, it'd be like if mushrooms were like a different thing in every Mario game. Like, okay. I don't know, simplify this a little bit.
It still looks like a mushroom, but you're calling it something different.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The things that make it great are the same things that make any of their games great, I think, though, is that they really respect you and expect you to figure out, like, where to go and what's important. And, you know, there's not a lot of hand-holding. And that's, I think... A thing that they changed for good after the first Dark Souls came out or whatever, but it's just this blown out, you know, way bigger proportions to where it's just like what Breath of the Wild did, where it's just like, hey, any way you go, you're gonna find something interesting.
Is it the game that if you haven't liked Dark Souls games or Demon Souls or any of these Souls types games? Is it the game that you should, like, this is the one. This is the one that's going to turn you.
Me, personally, I think no. Like, I don't know. But, like, I think it's a game worth checking out because it's a big, important game. It's, like, the same way, I don't know. Like, I played Metal Gear Solid 5, and I don't care about that series at all. But it was, you know, it seemed like a big enough deal. You know, on that front, I'd say it's worth checking out. But I think, like... I don't know. This is a game for people that like these types of games. Like, it's if you like, you know, I'm surprised to hear you guys say sometimes you like don't like Breath of the Wild, but it's like if you don't like Breath of the Wild, I don't think you're gonna walk away from this like riveted or like have a different opinion of that type of game because that's what it is. Like, I think that type of game is super interesting and it's like. Kind of an evolution of games where it's just like the idea that you can go any direction and then there's something actually really interesting in that direction is cool. But again, if it's not your type of thing, like this is like built for people that like Breath of the Wild and also like Dark Souls. Like if you don't like Dark Souls, I can't imagine you like loving this. Like, yeah, they make concessions to make it more accessible, but it's just as hard as ever. And if you just don't see what's like neat about it, like I don't see how this game totally changes that. I don't know. Like, it's weird though, because I've seen people that are playing the series for the first time now and really loving it. Like our one friend, Jenna. I don't know if you guys know Jenna, but she was in Tiny Chat for a while and stuff. This is her first one. She's playing it, and she's like texting us, like, "Oh, like, I just found the Stormfront Catacombs, and I just fought this cat boss, and oh my god, it was so tough, but it was amazing." And you know, I was like, "That's really cool." And I was like, "She just started this game. I did not find no fucking Stormfront Catacombs. Like, I had to like look up where that was. It was like right near the start, and I missed it somehow." You know, so I go back and I go and do it, and it was like, for me, super easy, because I'm like level 70 doing this fucking dungeon that's designed for the beginning of the game. So for as much as the game like hands your ass to you, it's interesting to go back to areas and find things that you missed from early on in the game, and like, you're the fucking badass in that situation. Like, you're the one to be feared. You're just walking through there and fucking destroying everything in one hit. Like, so that's an interesting, like, I mean, that was always kind of an element of like Dark Souls games. Like, you couldn't miss things, you could go yeah. back to earlier areas, and they'd be so much easier. But now there's like, yeah, like new things to find in those areas that you missed, and it's so much easier. It's like, you do get the power, like, fantasy element at times of it, like, instead of just the punish element. Yeah,
I am glad that you are enjoying it. I still don't think it's for me, but
I'll tell you. Let me just tell you a couple, and I think I've shared some of these. I'll tell you a couple of things that like are fun that happened to me. I think I told you guys this yesterday. Like, I was doing a side quest for this lady. She wanted me to bring a letter to her father, who's a prisoner at this castle, and I did that. And he's like, "Go back and tell her I'm okay." And so I go back to where she is along the road to tell her that he's okay. And she's dead. She's been murdered. And it has, like, no, as far as I know, like, bearing on anything else. Like, that's what the quest is.
It's like, you go do this thing and you come back and, like, she's dead. And you're like,
"Yeah, okay." That's it. Like, there's no resolving it. That's just it. Like, you know, shit happened badly. Another fun one in a similar vein is, like, I found a cave early on, and I got to the boss of the cave, and it was just this guy. Like, you go into this room, and I open the treasure chest and take the treasure, and I was about to leave. This guy pops out. He's like, "How dare you take my treasure?" And he, like, you know, goes to fight me, and I fucking beat his... I'm sorry, like, I've beaten the fuck out of him. His health bar is half done. He's like, "Okay, truce." And that's it. That's the end. I mean, you could kill him if you want, but I was like, "All right, dude, we're good." And I just let him go. There's interesting things like that. Like, there's a swamp early on, like, and in that swamp I found a treasure chest, and when you open it, blue smoke came out of the chest. I'm like, "Oh no, I'm gonna fucking die," or, you know, it's like a trap, it's like poison, and the smoke enveloped me, and it's like, "You are in a transporter trap," and that just transports you across the map to some fucking area that you're way under leveled for, and leaves you there. It's like, "Hey, good luck, buddy, get the fuck out of here." there's lots of interesting, cool, like, surprises like that. So that's the one thing I would say is, like, very much like Breath of the Wild, but, like, I just think more interesting. Like, the world's more interesting to go around. I don't think it has as many, though. Like Zelda had 120 shrines. I don't think it has 120, like, caves or something like that. Like, they're not as prevalent. It's more just interesting shit all over the place. There are caves and stuff like that, but again, I don't think quite as many. But yeah, it's great. It's a great game. I wish you guys would all play it, but I'm not going to tell you to spend $60 on it when it's not your type of thing. So I would maybe consider it on a sale. I don't know.
That's a possibility. We'll see. I mean, I might try it and poke at it, you know, October, November, if it's on sale or something. So
I have been wanting to try one of them, especially since I heard about the co-op. But I'm like, if co-op, you still need to have some ability to do it on your own. But it sounds like Jeff is like, "No, you can have other people do all the work for you." So
you know. No, I mean, you do have to have the two things on your own for sure. I would say too, like, I think this is the most interesting one. It's like the one I would recommend people check out. I do think Dark Souls 2 is easier. I think Dark Souls 2 is like the, in terms of difficulty, the most accessible one. This thing does other things to make their games more accessible, but like they really turn up the difficulty in some of the fights, you know.
So, like, me, Earl, and Tony, we could team up, but we'd probably still get our ass kicked.
Oh no. I would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you have three people team up who are very familiar with the game and definitely still get your ass kicked. It definitely happens.
You gotta
That's
do
some
is
of the
hide
fun.
in a, apparently all you gotta do is hide in a corner and spam magic. Apparently that is not a legitimate way to play the game.
I mean, you can, but you need some good magic. And then, yeah, you better be hiding then, because then you have no. If you put all your stats into magic, you're not going to have much in the way of physical defense and
Well,
stuff,
that
so.
so that's what like because everyone's like, oh, well, if you want to play it easy, like be a sorcerer or use some sort of magic, it's like,
I see people say sorcerer's very hard in this one early on, but
yeah,
I found warrior very hard in this one very on, so early on, so I don't know.
but that like commentary that you should like if you want to play the easiest way, like do it with magic. But then like pe that there seems to be some backlash against that with Elden Ring coming out, where people are like, that's not really
Yeah.
true because like you can die in like two hits. You
No,
have
I
no
think.
fucking health and you have no defense,
Yeah.
so like
I think there's always some truth to if you're going so strong in that build where like you're only focusing on intelligence, then yeah, you're opening up. You're not, a sorcerer type character is not a tank. Like they're a guy in a robe running around, and so like you have to. That's how you're playing the game. It's all range, but if they close the gap, you're in real trouble.
Right.
Yeah, and I there's bosses I wish I was a sorcerer on, and then there's other ones where I'm like, dude, if you're a sorcerer on this, you're totally fucked. Like, so yeah, I don't know. Like in a way, it is easier because you don't have to be good at like dodging and reacting to what the boss is doing. Like and thinking about the pattern, you're like standing back. But again, yeah, the trade-off is that as soon as the boss jumps 50 feet in the air and decides to land right on top of you, he's one shot killing you when he lands on you. So yeah, it's I'm gonna do a magic character eventually, but I kind of prefer getting in the mix and having the like the armor
You like the
do so.
tanky guy.
Yeah. I like them all. I like to, that's the thing that's great about these games is like really awesome combat and like, but it's not just one type of combat. Like there's it accommodates different styles, and that's another reason I like them more than like their spin-offs that like restrict you more. Like Bloodborne, you're just playing just this way, and that's it. And here you can like totally like have a different experience in how the combat feels.
Neat. You play anything else this week? I mean, you played 67 hours of it, so I'm not sure exactly where you would have fit in
Yeah,
the grand
no,
scheme of things.
I
When
tried
did
that.
you sleep and work? When did that
I
happen?
want there's no work happening yet soon enough, unfortunately. And yeah, that's really like honestly, being totally honest, that's almost all I've done is play this game. Like there's this type of like open world game is very addictive to me, and I've always found like the Dark Souls games to be like old time suckers anyways, because you're like looking things up, like oh, what does this mean? And I don't know, it's like the time like goes away in those games. And here you're like just combining that with that open world to just go explore thing, where it's just like. Most games I'll play like 30 minutes to an hour a night, and this type of game is a game I could easily go 6 hours and just forget like, oh, I'm hungry, oh, I need to brush my teeth, oh, I should probably like be doing other things. Yeah, so it's been pretty bad the last, especially with no work for me to do. It's just been like, well, I'm waking up and I'm making some coffee and I'm clocking into Elden Ring. It's allowed me to get further than anyone I know. I'm way further than all our friends who are really playing it a lot. And I'm just like waiting to hear like when people run into some of the things, like interesting things that I've run into, like the response and stuff.
cool. Tony, you play anything this week?
I obviously played more Total War, but you probably don't want to hear about that. I did start Far Cry 6 randomly. I was so close to the Microsoft Rewards points level for 3 months of Xbox Game Pass that I needed to like get over the hump. And and you could get 500 points by getting one achievement. Because they had like the Women's History Month, 500 bonus points. So I needed a game I could get a really quick achievement in. So I, you know, popped in Far Cry 6 to give it a shot. And plus, I like Far Cry games, so that's kind of. In the current environment, playing through the beginning of Far Cry 6 is disturbing. Because the game literally starts off with an evil, hostile military force invading this area and, like, shooting all the civilians.
Oh.
Like, in really brutal, really, like, in-your-face type way. It's not subtle at all. They just massacre unarmed people.
Gus Frigg rolling in.
Yeah, I mean, it would be disturbing normally, but I think just like after everything else that's happened this week, it's a little more than that. It's painful. It was painful to play through. Like once you get past that part, the game like opens up and it's a normal Far Cry game. You know, you get your missions, you move around, you blow stuff up, you sneak around, you kill people. It's like, you know, it's typical Far Cry experience. But, like that opening is. It's rough. Almost on the, yeah, I think back to the, like the no Russian level in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2,
yeah,
it's that bad. Except in this case, you're not actually shooting the civilians yourself. Instead, it's like your friends are being shot like right next to you, like by police, and it's horrifying. So. I did get my achievement. I'm not necessarily sure it was worth it. But like get past that first part and then it opens up into Far Cry. So now I'm starting to play real Far Cry. One of the I'm trying to remember what they call it. They came up with a really stupid word for modifying your weapons. What is it? It's like I can't remember. The word is too stupid for me to remember. That's but modifying your weapons and like finding stuff out in the world to like make them better is a really big feature this time around, as opposed to just like leveling up and purchasing new better weapons, which I kind of feel is the previous Far Cry games was more the goal. I don't know. I'm still getting through like the tutorial stuff. I've only played for a couple hours.
What do you mean, like adding meaningful like mods to your weapons?
Yes,
like
armor piercing rounds.
Yeah,
yeah, that kind of stuff. And it's like you go into villages and attack outposts, and you pick the stuff off the ground and use that stuff to modify your weapon. So,
yeah.
So I mean, like in past ones, like you would hunt like animals. Are you still doing that here?
I definitely got attacked by a boar. I'm assuming you can hunt more animals. I think the boar was kind of an accident. I was just kind of walking through the grass and stepped on it and it attacked me. You also get a pet alligator that you can sick on people. Which is like if you're trying to be stealthy and like sneak up on an outpost.
Pet alligators are not the way to go.
The alligator kind of gives you away. On the other hand, if you send the alligator like right at the front of the outpost, I mean, it's going to attract some attention. Maybe you sneak in the back while you're doing that. I definitely did that, and like everyone was facing the wrong direction, which was helpful.
But I would be wondering where that alligator came from.
You get to make friends. You get to pet the alligator. Like it's your buddy. It's your amigo.
All right. Well, that's fun.
It's fun. I mean, it's more Far Cry. It's definitely like if you were looking for something like some giant leap forward in Far Cry, it's not really here. But
is the doggy your amigo? The little doggy on the, like, he has like the thing for his legs.
You know, I haven't met the doggy yet.
That'd be awesome if he could be like, you know, like a companion that you summon. Yeah. He fucks shit up.
I like having the alligator for the moment. Like, I like my companions being able to eat my enemies.
You get lots of interesting companions in Elden Ring too. That's like try to bring that back. Like, I have a jellyfish. I have a group of soldiers. I have a pack of wolves. Like, you get all sorts of different. You know,
you have all the people who help you with your enemies. It's
yeah. Awesome. Well, they're like dummies. They stand there. They do things. You can level them up. They get stronger. Could you level up like I can't remember in Far Cry? Could you like level up that like companion thing?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's also it's something you could miss at Elden Ring. Like, you completely miss the quest to do to think so you could level up
get
your
companions.
Yeah, like, well, I don't think you could miss that, but you could easily kind of miss, you know, the thing to level them up. Which, you know, this is how it goes in those games. Anyways.
Yeah.
Fun.
I mean, I'll be playing more Far Cry. I feel bad though, because I still haven't started Horizon.
I would definitely have played Horizon before before Far Cry 6.
I need the button. Horizon's on PS5, and I need achievements. I need those.
Yeah.
I still need one more to finish my weeklies. I need three. So I have to play a little bit more Far Cry and get one more achievement.
There you go. Then hop over to Horizon.
Then Horizon. Sure.
A game I am 10 hours into, and I still feel I'm at like the beginning of the game. Like, they just got done explaining, like, hey, there's these other five regions out in the west. Like, I haven't really, like, I'm in the west now, but I'm not really in the west.
You got the title card that said Horizon.
Yeah, like, there's basically this whole intro part where it's like you're trying to get to the gates to the west. And then you get there and something happens, and then it's like, now you can explore the West. And like, they give you the outline of it. It's like, I am 10 hours into this thing. And I know it's not going to be like, oh, you know, there's only like 5-10 more hours of this. No, this is going to be like another 25-30 hours.
Yeah, they're not like too long though. Like, it's like 30 hours or so, or what?
It's like probably between 30 or 40.
Yeah,
like
it's like a standard adventure.
I am really enjoying it. You get some cool stuff, like some cool gadgets and stuff, and it is weird though, because like, you come off, I think I said this last week, coming off of Horizon Zero Dawn, when you end that game, you have all, like, you know, Aloy has all these traps and different types of arrows and all this different equipment to kill things, and then this game starts you off with like just your bow and arrow, and then you're slowly like adding stuff into, like, my weapon wheel is not full yet. I have like fire arrows and acid arrows, like a couple different traps, and I just got the tripwire. Like, that was something I think that you got really early in Horizon Zero Dawn. It's like the tripwire.
That's super early.
And it's like very useful, especially the way I played it, which was like, I'm going to set up these traps, lure the big beasts in, and then take them down. Like, I guess, like, really haven't fought any big beasts where I'm at yet. So maybe that's why. But it just seems weird that, like, we're going to take all of this equipment away from you because we have to, so that you can start fresh and earn it all again. I don't know. That game's really pretty though. Plays real well. I think the melee has been improved significantly. You are fighting more human people than in the first game.
I think you might be I misremember from the first game too, because I think the fights against the monsters, mm-hmm. the robotic monsters, kind of stick out, but you do fight tons of human beings in the first game.
I think it's more in like the back half though, right? Like once you start expanding out past Aloy's territory, Yeah, because there are, like, I mean, you meet up with characters you met up with in Zero Dawn in this game. Yeah. And, like, you know, you fought against bad human people in that game. But yeah, you might be right, Tony, where it's just, like, those, yeah. The robot monsters, the robot dinosaurs and creatures were way more interesting.
Yes, the people just kind of die.
Yeah.
Even the ones who are supposed to be tough just die.
They do have and this kind of gross sounding, but there's a good, like, is a very, like, you know, you get a feeling when you headshot someone in this, like, there's a good thunk to it. Like,
oh yeah, I know that feeling.
Like, it's like, oh yes, like I've and
when you hear it pop, yeah.
Yeah, but you kind of need that because, like, you're getting attacked by multiple people. Like, it's not just like you,
like, oh, he's dead, okay, move on.
Right. Like, it's a nice sound that's like, got that person, I can move on. So it's sounds morbid, but, like, it's a very good sound for the game.
I will say, my son has been playing it. He plays it on the lowest difficulty setting, though. And I find it, like, watching it, like, I'm like, these fights are too easy this way. Like, that creature would have destroyed me playing on the normal difficulty, and you just kind of, like, walk out and let it spot you, and then you kill it instantly. It's, like, really whack frustrating.
Whack it with your spear.
He's like, he doesn't even bother sneaking. He just walks in the middle of the camp and kills everyone. I'm like, oh,
I am here. Come fight me. yeah, it might be maybe the wrong way to play it, but
yes, yeah. I mean, if he enjoys it, fine. But I would not play it that way. There's no way.
So, yeah, as long as he is having some enjoyment out of it, whatever. But that's another game. I think it's fun to explore in it. Like, it is more of like an Assassin's Creed type open world game. Like, there are tons of markers and shit, which, you know, I think Jeff just prefers to wander around the environment. Like, which you can still do here, but it's like, I know where I need to go next, and it's, you're wandering along. It's like, oh, there's something over here, and you just kind of veer off. But you do know, like, I need to go in this area next. Because there's always, like, you know, little, here's your next story bit. You want to go there to do that? Or you want to explore this area and, you know, do side quests. And there's, like, errands. There's, like, a whole list of different things. There's, like, errands you can run, which are, like mini side quests. Like, it's basically go do, like, one thing or gather one thing. And then there's actual side quests, which are multi-tiered, where they have different, like, objectives through them. And they're a little bit more like, maybe like The Witcher in how they handle, like, their storylines. Because there are actual stories to the side quests. And doing them affects, like, the environment.
Interesting.
Like, there's like, one where you can... Like, there's a group of refugees, the religious refugees, that are up on, like, this mountaintop, and they're being harassed by somebody in town. And if you save them, like, you can ignore it, or you can save them, or you can basically enrich yourself and banish them. But if you save them, like, later on, you'll get dialogue that from, like, a friend of yours in the town that, like, you know, they've settled in, they've set up camp over here, you can go visit them there. Like, it changes in the world where, you know, they have now populated a different part of it, which is interesting. We'll see if more, you know, side quests do that, but at least, like, the couple that I've done have changed things in the world. And then there is a, you know, there's like, basically bounties, like, which are, you know, go gather three things from, like, the Firehawk or whatever. So there's, like, just tons of things to do. And then the story seems pretty cool. So voice acting's, you know, excellent. Game just looks great. It's a top-notch Sony single player exclusive.
Yeah.
Let's see. The other thing that I played this week, and I think Tony, I think you pressed play on it to get the achievement. For like there was a quest last month, which was like start this game and like it was basically play one of these 10 games to get an achievement in it. Mm-hmm. And in Record of Lotus War, Deedlit in if you just start
that's
the game,
as far as I got, all I did was start it and then stop.
Yeah, so I played through that entire thing, and it is a very solid Symphony of the Night, Castlevania type game. I think it's a little bit.
Yeah,
easier
I saw that's
than
what it was, and I was like, oh, okay.
It's like, I don't want to play this.
Never mind. Moving on.
Yeah, it's one of those games. I think it's actually a very good one of them. It's maybe a little bit on the easy side, like for the main, the main quest. 100% of the map. I fought all the enemies. There's like a couple other achievements I could have got, like go get all the weapons. And I was like, I'm good.
Is it like I downloaded this and I got stuck at the first room? Like I forgot what it was. I couldn't figure out what to do at the very beginning. But is it like the standard length for that type of game, like 8 to 12 hours, or?
Yeah, it was about. I think it took me 10 hours.
Okay.
Eight to ten, somewhere in there. Yeah. So it's a decent chunk of time. Good bosses for the most part. It has a cool mechanic where you have two different types of magic, spirit magic and fire magic, and enemies will they could be damaged by both, but some will guard against like spirit magic or fire magic, and some will take more damage if you use a certain type of magic. And then there's like these platforming sections where, depending upon the magic that you have, you can't get through certain barriers, so you have to flip back and forth between them, which makes for some like neat platforming where it's like you have to have the blue magic on, but as you're jumping through the blue one, as soon as you get through, you got to switch to the fire magic to then switch back. Like it's pretty neat. There's bosses that incorporate that too, where they'll throw down barriers and you have to have the right one. So when you're playing it, like it can, like the boss battles get pretty interesting because you're switching back and forth between the magic to give yourself defense, because if they throw fire magic at you, you're immune to it. But if you have the spirit magic on at the time, you'll take damage from it. So you want to be like flipping back and forth.
Like that Ikaruga color system.
Yeah. Something like, just like that. It's a color system where you're bouncing back and forth. And you're either buffing or debuffing against it, and you get each of them up to like, you can build them up. There's like a meter that builds you up to level 3. And if you get to level 3 and then take damage on one of the other ones, if you flip to the other one, it'll refill your health. So like you're not like, you can buy health potions, but you don't need them, because if you go fight a couple enemies, you'll build up one of yours to level 3, which will then refill your health bar, and your magic refills over time. It was fun. It was a good fun game. There's a boss rush that I was like, I tried, once you beat it, like it's like, hey, do play all the bosses at once, like, and it's like you're going up against this Leviathan creature that you fought the first big boss you fight. And when you fight the Leviathan the first time, like, he's tough. But now you're going in, like, level 50 with your upgraded weapons, and like, you kill him in, like, 10 seconds. the challenge is, like, try and complete the boss rush as fast as possible. I was not able to do it fast enough to get the achievements for it, but it's a neat thing to go through. And it's on Game Pass, so.
Yeah, I should give it another chance once I'm finally done playing this game forever.
It's one that's like, once you figure it out, I think early on it might be like the map doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And
I was literally in the first room, and I think I got like I think the first power you get is a glide type thing where it's like you could jump and then glide down. And then like that gets you out of where you got the thing. And I was like, all right, but I can't get out of like the start. Like I couldn't figure out where to go. And I just, with Game Pass games, sometimes I just don't give them enough of a chance because I didn't invest anything into it. Like,
right. You didn't pay for
that
it.
Game was like a 500 megabyte download or whatever. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, whatever. Like,
what is funny about it? So Record of Lotus War is, it's an anime from like the mid 90s. And you know, it's a pretty standard like fantasy narrative. There was a game on Dreamcast for it as well, but this game like has so much story embedded into it, and I think they expect it like most people like watch the fucking anime from fucking 96 or 97.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no!
And it's like I watched it back then. I don't remember any of this.
It didn't leave like a super strong.
Yeah, it's like I remember not, like I liked it. Like I own a copy of it, but it's not like I don't remember. Like they're naming character names. Like yeah, I remember that person. I don't remember what
we're
the fuck
bringing
them
back.
But it's like now they're like going through this whole thing, and it's like trying to like justify what's going on here, and they're talking about different characters and like what is going on. So like I ended up just like pressing A through a lot of that shit. It's like it's nice that they put the time in for I guess super fans of the anime. I don't care about these characters because I haven't watched anything with this in 25 years. So.
Unrelated, I don't know why I just thought of this, but you like these types of games or whatever, right? Like, have you ever played The Mummy Demastered or whatever?
No, that's one that I wanted to play. I don't think I ended up ever picking it up.
Get it on sale. It's pretty decent. Like, I'm not saying it's amazing or anything, but like, I think you would dig it. It kind of feels like you're playing like Alien or something. It almost feels like they got the Mummy license, like slapped onto it or something, but it's a cool little like.
And that was the Tom Cruise Mummy. It's one, good one I want to try. And speaking of Alien, there is an Alien, I think it's a DS game.
It's good,
really expensive to find. Like, and you can't.
I think I have it.
But that's what I want to try too.
You've never played that one?
No.
It's like, you know, 2D like Metroid Alien. It's awesome. I swear I think I have it, but I honestly couldn't tell you where I have my Game Boy games or any of that shit.
But I know I owned it. Was that a GBA game or was it a Okay, cuz
I think it was a GBA.
Okay. Cuz if it's a GBA game, I could probably easily find a way to play it.
Yeah, you. I don't know. I think it is GBA, dude.
I'll look that up because, like, if it is, yeah. then there are illicit ways of playing GBA games.
I'm getting supposedly that thing I was telling you guys about that has the fucking like, all the ROMs on it, like through the Dreamcast area.
Yep.
Yeah, like with like it's like every like literally every game from the Dreamcast era plus I think they have the DS too, like most DS games. So
yeah, like
I guess
yeah,
you know,
that's what I'm wondering, like how does DS work, because like a lot of them are
it's just like a weird split screen looking thing.
Yeah,
I think like probably won't get a ton of play me, but
we'll be interested to hear how that plays out for you.
I think I don't know, like I don't, it's something that doesn't sound interesting to most people, but I don't like to play ROMs and shit like on a computer. Like if you give me like a box, like a mini Nintendo, like a plug into my fucking TV and it has literally everything on it, like cool, you know.
I should send you my Raspberry Pi, and then just all you need to do is plug in a wired controller to it.
Yeah.
And it has like it has basically everything from the Nintendo era through through to PlayStation. Like it doesn't go all the way up to Dreamcast because the Raspberry Pi I built when I built it wasn't that strong. But
so this thing should have Atari through Dreamcast and NDS, but also arcade like MAMES or whatever. Stuff, like So I don't know. Like I think again I asked for it for my birthday, but it was like $100 I think. You know. We'll see how it is.
Nice. Be interesting to hear what you have to say about it. A couple other things I played, as Earl mentioned earlier, been like kind of playing some like kart racing games. I played one that's not, it's not branded, so it's not a it's not a licensed one, but there's a series called Super Toy Cars. There's like three of these games now. I bought the entire series for like under $20. The latest one just came out. It's called Super Toy Cars Off-Road. But I played the first one.
On what? Like what system?
It's on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
And it's fine. I mean, for I mean I bought all three of these for under $20. So like if you're paying more than that for them, maybe don't. But yeah, it's perfectly fine, acceptable kart racing game. It is the I think the aesthetic of it is pretty cool. Like it, it's like if you were to build a racetrack in like your kitchen or in your garage or something like that with your toy cars, like that's what it's designed to look like. Kind of like a 3D model of like Micro Machines, or I think you said Hot Wheels had some levels.
I was saying, like did you, I thought you got that game.
I did get Hot Wheels, and it's just sitting there, not played yet. but for a couple bucks, like that, this one is fine, and it was an easy 1,000 achievement points. So, and
I like that type of game.
Yeah, I you know, give me something you can just sit down and quickly, you know, a nice, like, fun kart racer. Like, doesn't have to be great. Doesn't, it's way better than Garfield. Garfield was a garbage game.
I like the idea, though, like the toy scale.
Yeah.
Like, I always bring this one up, like, an early Xbox Live game, Mad Trax, was like that. It's the same idea. Like, you're racing toy cars on tracks through a house and shit.
Yeah, it's just a neat idea. Like, yeah. And it, you know, let you do some cool things level design wise.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And the last thing, real quick, I don't know why, but I decided to play some Lego games. I'm currently playing through Lego City Undercover and Lego Batman 2.
Oh, God.
Lego Batman 2 is really good.
It is. Those games are both really good, but they're old.
Yeah. I mean, I just, like, I've been trying to, like, wrap up some achievements, like, and stuff. And, like, these are games that I think there was, like, a quest or something that one of them, or maybe both of them, were on Game Pass at some point. And there was probably an achievement to, like, get one. So, like, I had, like, one achievement in Lego City Undercover. So, 1 out of 48. It's just like, all right, I'll wrap up. Like, these games don't take long. And they're actually like, I played through Lego City Undercover when it came out on the Wii U. And it's a really good Lego game. And Lego Batman 2 is it's actually a really good Batman game.
It is. And it really, like, it brings in the Justice League at the end.
Yeah.
But it spends the entire game being about Batman and Robin.
Yeah, like, I mean, Superman shows up, like, but it's mostly just, like, Batman being dismissive of Superman. Like, go away, yes. We don't want you here.
Like, don't want your help.
Really, really good. Very funny. I mean, the Lego games have always kind of been very, you know, very well done humor. But this, like, wow, it is, like, poking at Rocksteady. There's a part where, you know, one of the levels, you're in Arkham Asylum. You have to recapture all the villains that have busted out. And then like they have this news reporter that is like doing like these in between levels, basically giving you a little more story. And she's like, and Batman was able to recapture all the villains, which is great, because then he put them all back in Arkham Asylum, which was very convenient, as opposed to the mayor's plan to have us just wall off a part of the city and let the villains just roam there, because that would turn out real well. It's like you're just like throwing shade at Arkham City and the stupidity of the concept of that game. It was real, like I was like, yes, this is on point for a Batman game. And I probably shouldn't have done it, because the new Star Wars Lego game is coming out in like a month, and I'm gonna be burned out
Be
on Lego games.
bored of
But
it.
because like they don't change, like
They're very
conceptually they're
same,
very
yeah.
similar, but I think both Lego City Undercover and Lego Batman 2 very well done, very good humor.
Yeah, I liked. I think Lego City is my favorite Lego game. I think partially because it isn't tied to a license, where like there's a lot of great humor that comes from it, but you are still beholden to the fact that you're in this where like Lego City Undercover. It's like, yeah, we can go walls to the walls. Who cares? It's a whole.
It's a
Like
little
I.
different too. It's like more of a just like an open world.
It's more of an open world satire
Yeah,
too. It
yeah.
feels like it's an open and like because I mean there's a part where you're roaming through town in a giant dinosaur.
Yep.
Yeah. I
And
liked it.
you go off to space, I think, for the climax. It's like, yeah, do whatever, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a shame that they didn't, because that came out in 2000,
13.
2013, I think,
The
2014,
Wii U
15.
curse. It was a
It
Wii
sucks though, because like the game is really, really good,
game. I would not hit.
like I think that they just should have, they should give us more Lego City games, because they do some really good humor there as well,
Yeah.
and they play it like similar to, I think, like Conker, right? Like they're making fun of movies.
It's like
Like
doing
they're,
Dirty Harry, like.
yeah, they do that. They make fun of the Matrix, Starsky and Hutch, Lethal Weapon, just basically cop movies in general.
Yeah.
Like it's making fun of. It's a really good fun game. So.
I like that. That's the only Lego game I've played through all the way.
Really.
I get so bored by them, yeah.
Yeah,
But
I mean, I could see not like this one definitely has way more variety than the other
they're
ones.
usually like levels, right? Like that was like you could kind of GTA it up, like drive around the city and
Yeah, I
do
mean,
missions.
like Lego Batman 2 is like
Is like a city.
yeah, like there you drive to the levels, and there's like there's stuff to do in the open world, but it's not as robust as Lego City was.
Yeah.
But I do think like, and I don't know. Did you guys play like the Lego Marvel Avengers?
Yeah.
Because like that one's open world too, I think. And like I think they started making them open world after this one.
City.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is going to be interesting, I think, for this Star Wars one, because I don't know how you make an open world Star Wars game that's going to span all nine movies.
I think the Avengers one had like you could transport between different places.
Okay.
So I'm assuming they'll do that. There'll be like open world areas for each. Like there'll be a Tatooine open world
Got it.
area
And
and a
then, like,
Hoth
you
one.
want to go to a different planet, and, like, that'll be where the Hoth stuff happens or
Yeah.
the Death
Hold
Star
up.
stuff happens. Got it.
As a quick aside, you mentioned Star Wars and it came to mind. I don't know if you folks heard a story or not that what is it? What is the
Quantic Dream.
Yes, that game isn't expected until 2027 or
That game is a
2028.
myth. That game will
What?
never occur.
So, the weird thing about in the game, I think it's what we're referring to as Star Wars Eclipse, right?
Yes, there we go.
Yeah. So that game is supposed to take place in the High Republic, which is the current kind of literary setting that they're using for their novels. It takes place a few hundred years before Phantom Menace and all that stuff. But I don't know how long that's gonna pan out. Like, at some point they will, you know, be doing sequels and stuff for the movies, and their literary stuff will move on from there. I don't know if it's gonna last, like, what'd you say, 2027, 2028?
Yes. I mean, just to, you know, put it into context in case you listen to this podcast, you know, next week or 6 years from now, we are in March of 2022, which means at a minimum, this is going to be near the end of this current generation or sort of next one. And it was announced at the end of 2021.
It'd be like, not even the next gen. I don't know.
That's insane. Like, one, why was it announced?
Yes, that game should not be announced. It is a concept. It's not a game.
Right. Well, I think part of why they announced it is part of why they're having troubles with it. Because, and again, I guess that this, which is why, is that apparently part of it is that they are having a problem hiring people. And we discussed this on the show when it happened years ago, that Quantum Dream is a shithole to work for. That is an egomaniac. So they are having, for some odd reason, that does not make people want to go work there. I don't know why.
Even take that out of it, though, but, like, the type of the games they make, like, the fact that they would think that would take that long is insane. Like, I don't know. Like, they basically make, like, Telltale games.
Yes, but, I mean, I will grant them this. They do tend to have really state-of-the-art looking character models and graphics.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know. Seems like a lot.
They're not making, like, super gameplay-intensive games. They're making visually high-end. They're making high-end visual games.
Which I thought you were going to say. Because I feel like that's more of a match. That's a weird matchup for Star Wars. Which I'm not. I mean, Star Wars is an action franchise. But, like, you can have story-driven, character-driven stuff. Like, we've seen that with The Mandalorian and Rogue One. But it's also not necessarily something where I think people are invested in making. I think it's the same issue that used to happen with the Telltale, like, Batman games, is that, like, you can create a new character, but, like, people are going to react in a certain way because that's the mindset of the character. Or, like, if you're a Jedi or a Sith, if you're going to react this way, you don't necessarily, like, break up and make choices, which is kind of the heart and soul of these types of games, which, again, when I played the Telltale Batman game, most of my choices were Batman is still Batman, even if I wanted him to be a dick. So I feel like that's also going to be counterproductive to a franchise that is very, very, very well controlled to begin with.
Yeah, like, how deep can they get with their choices here? Like, I remember when Jedi Fallen Order came out, and, like, you heard some of the interviews from the developers of that Disney was, like, super involved in that game, and they were green lighting or turning down items as they came across, like, you can do this, but no, you can't do that, which delayed that a little bit. But wow, like, a whole game based on choices, that's gonna be rough.
They're doing a sequel to Fallen Order, right?
Yeah. I believe I like we that should game. Hear about that soon, actually.
Nice. I thought the game was pretty solid.
It's the only Souls-like game that I've ever finished. So.
Yeah, the combat was a little bit, yeah. I dug it. And it was like the level design was a little Metroid-y, too. A little bit, yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. It was cool for what it was.
Yep. Earl, you play anything this week?
I don't play video games anymore. I retired.
Okay.
All right. I mean, honestly, it's kind of the same three or four games I've been cycling through: Pokemon, Rainbow Six Extraction, Nobody Saves the World. The only other one I would add, I don't think we ever discussed on this, and it's not a video game in the traditional sense, is I've been addicted to all those stupid word games recently.
Wordle.
And what is the other one? There's a Squirtle. Squadgy, which is like you get four words at once, and then there's one where you get 16 words at once now. And that's kind of just been my way to break up my brain. from work, other stuff around it. Yeah, I tried. Oh crap! What is that? There was that. There's that new Conan game, Conan Chop Chop. Is that what it's called? I tried a demo of that, and that was not fun. I don't know. There's certain types of games that I enjoy on paper more, but the more I play of them, like, it has to be something really exceptional, because this is kind of one of those top-down twin-stick beat-em-ups. And I feel like, you know, you get Hades, you got Curse of the Dead Gods, you get, you know, so many of those games that I... within, like, the first 10, 15 minutes, I'm like, yeah, this is really not doing anything I haven't seen before. Why am I wasting my time?
Kind of looks like looks like a mobile game almost,
and it probably is. Like, it seemed like their big selling point was, because I've seen it on Twitter a few times, they think their big selling point was like, oh, look, we got the Conan IP and we're doing something fun and different with it, and it's like, because it's kid friendly Conan. I'm like, okay, but this does nothing for me as a game. So that was my I guess big pay. I wanted to do Kirby beforehand, but I'm traveling tomorrow, so I'll save that for my wait in the airport.
You haven't tried the Kirby demo?
No, I downloaded it, and I'm like, I downloaded that, and I was like, I probably should start Three Houses. I've owned it for 3 years now.
Gosh, so I started that game. I can't do it. I can't do it. There's too much, like, cutscene-ness. Like, I think I played Two Houses for, like, 2.5 hours and only played one actual battle.
That sounds about right for some of it.
I can't do it. I need more. Like, I need more actual gameplay, and less like it's like story cutscenes and like walking around talking to people. I can't.
See, this is why you need to play Elden Ring. You sound like an Elden Ring potential player here. Just let you go play.
Well, Three Houses is a strategy game though, right?
Yes, it's a strategy game. And I would like to actually play the strategy game part of the strategy game, and you're not
there's
letting
strategery.
Me.
There's
strategery. It kills me on all. It's Valkyria Chronicles. It's the same thing. Strategy game. On paper, I would love to play that game, except I have to sit through hours and hours of cutscenes.
Yeah, and I think that's been a complaint with some people with Triangle Strategy.
Yeah,
where like, even in the
Tony,
demo,
don't play that one.
That's complaint with me with like every game now. Like, don't do too many fucking like too much talking at me. Like, let me go play.
I don't mind it, depending on the pacing, because like yes, Fire Emblem,
it depends what it is too, right? Like what type of game? Like,
because Fire Emblem, if I remember correctly, is very much cutscene. Usually some dialogue between the characters, maybe a battle cutscene. Go back to camp, cutscene, battle, cutscene, cutscene, hang out and get to know your characters, maybe recruit some people, battle. Yes, it's not necessary. It's not, like, I think, and they had story, but I think, and it's not necessarily the same game. I think Mario and the Rabbids did it well with a story, but a lot of it is just kind of go face thing and conduct, you know, business. It's not necessary. Because I think it's especially hard to tell like these grand stories where it's like, yeah, your characters aren't that interesting. So I don't know, but like I said, I do own it. I might as well. I was just looking at stuff to download. If you folks have any suggestions for something on the Switch that's cheap,
no.
And I still got Pokemon, so.
Yes. I made a little progress there too. I beat the first boss, I guess.
Yes, this boss.
I mean, it's like you run around, throw
food
at it.
Like third person shooting guy.
I don't know. It was fun. I liked it. Like, this is weird. Like, this is not Pokemon, but this is weird. Yeah. Like, I like this.
It's like, how far? You like build up a meter or something, and then you could like throw Pokemon at them. Is that how the boss went? Like.
Yeah, well, you don't have to, but you can. Yeah,
yeah, you're like you're basically shooting at them, and then you're building up like a meter, and then you can like launch Pokemon at them, do massive damage. That's hey, I hope you like that because that's the bosses.
I figured as much. Yeah, I figured there was like going to be like five or six of those.
Yeah, five.
Yeah, but even then, like Chris says, I think there was five. I think
they're the last two are kind of tough, man. Like actually kind of tough. Yeah.
But I think everything else, because like there are times where you have to like you fight the trainers beforehand to you know. I think the first one you have to beat the trainer ahead of time. So there's some mixture. But yeah, and it's like each one does have a unique encounter. But yeah, it's not the most. But I mean, even for Pokemon, I think it's different enough.
Oh yeah, you know, dude, I dug that game, and yeah, that's adding like they added more to the game in this one than they have in, like any of them. So.
Yeah, which is why I'm also so surprised. I mean, it's kind of go back to the beginning of the show that they're dumping a new Pokemon generation. That means there are three mainline Pokemon games coming out within a 12-month span.
It's crazy.
And I mean, I don't know if any other franchise can do it. I do feel like you hit a point of saturation where people are just like, it's what happened to me. It's why I skipped the Diamond and Pearl remakes, is because like Arceus is out in 2 months. I'm not gonna play Pokemon that rapidly together, and we'll see how far it in Scarlet go. But I'm curious, like, is it Legends Redux or is it like Legends meets the traditional game in some fashion? It still seems way too soon to just be dumping a new one at the. I don't know. I think some of this stuff could have been reshuffled.
Yeah. They just like they pump that cash cow, man. Like, I don't know. To me, out of all of them, Arceus is the one that's like interesting at all. So, you know, I'm good, but it was cool. It was different. I liked it.
One thing I will say, I will give them a credit for, not necessarily with these three games, is that I thought at the time, Legends, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, Sword and Shield, the three big ones on the Switch, are three distinct Pokemon experiences.
And I couldn't tell the difference between... I'm being totally honest. Like, being Let's Go Eevee and Shield, I was like, that seemed kind of the same to me. I'm not buying these anymore.
Well, Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu are much more simplified. That takes elements of Go. You catch Pokemon in a different way with using the Joy-Con. You know, like there's an element like graphically, it's a slightly different. There are three different art styles. Yes, the structure, Let's Go, because it's a remake of the original generation, is very similar to Sword and Shield. But even Sword and Shield mixes up that format just a bit. And I also like the environment. I like the environment in Sword and Shield. The whole kind of make it into like a sporting event is really cool. But I know that's not for everybody, as I've learned from Pokemon.
Was that the concept of Sword and Shield? Was that it was some sort of like Pokemon League?
It takes place. It basically takes place in London. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of the you get different like it takes like Pokemon. The gyms aren't gyms; they're stadiums.
Okay.
So you go out there, and like the song is like. It's not vocal, but it's like mixed in, so it sounds like people are chanting, and it has like commentators. It has like a big match feel to it, but it is the traditional, not traditional, because like a lot of them isn't like a lot of the old gyms like mini puzzles, and you'd fight the little dungeons, I should say, and you fight random trainers. But this is really like you go and like that is the competition. It's like going to fight the big person in the Pokemon battle. But yeah, it's still the very same. You know, like you go, you defeat eight people, you get those badges, you fight the Elite Four, you become a champion of the league. So it's similar in that sense, but it is a really again, I like the atmosphere of it. Just like this one is, I think Scarlet and Violet are taking place in Spain, so that should hopefully add an interesting element to that as well.
Yeah, it sounds at least there's some sort of difference there. But I think I am in the camp of, I think Legends is the game that I want to play. I like that one, so we'll see how the new ones come out. So you guys are going to try the Kirby demo then this weekend?
Yeah.
Played it.
When is that out? End of the month?
End of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
It is
too busy.
I am no longer sure I'm going to buy it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, it's fine. It's totally fine. It's not. There's nothing bad to it, but like, nothing stood out.
Narrator.
It's very. It's very curvy. Like it's and it's also not like
It's not Odyssey.
It's like Mario 3D World. Like yes, okay, it's levels. It's just levels, and then it's very much just Kirby. So
I think that's where they misled people because a lot of people.
Yeah, it seemed
it was an ambitious world. Yeah, but I think people sometimes forget Kirby is kind of like. I mean, Mario is kind of like the everyman. Kirby's like your kid's first platformer. It's supposed to be a very approachable franchise, which has a very dark history.
Yeah.
It's
very fine. It's fine. It's fine. But it's like very, like, I don't know why from the trailer, like you said, like, I don't know if the trailer was misleading. I, like, expected it to be more ambitious, like more open world or more closer to Odyssey, where it was a bigger, like, at least if they're levels, they're like bigger open levels. That's like not like that at all. It's just
that's why I said I do think that is what the choice gave off. So I was surprised when somebody earlier said it's level based. I'm like, oh, like, yeah, that's why I asked. Like you could be level based like Mario 64, but it's like it seems like it's more like 3D world where it's like stages.
You beat a stage, select the next stage. Yeah, it's not. To me, like when I played of it, it didn't feel like a $60 game to me. Like I don't know, it felt like it should be $40, like most Kirby games. Like I don't know, it felt second tier. I'm sorry to say.
I mean, it's that you're not gonna be sorry for. I mean, this is all it happens.
I got excited because yeah, I guess you know the trailer may look like it's something more, but it's just Kirby. But it wasn't bad when I played. Like, it's not bad at all. Like, it's fine. It's just, you know, Kirby's very...
Kirby's very reliable. I think Kirby's probably the most consistent Nintendo franchise. In terms of, like, it's good. But yeah, I don't think it never is.
I hate to say it. I don't know.
But just looking at this month, we have, because, I mean, I assume none of us are playing Babylon Fall. That came out this week.
It did, yes.
Tokyo GP's next week. WWE 2K22's next week. Persona 4 Ultimate Arena, whatever. Strangers of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins out this month.
Another Souls-like game.
I have no idea. Is it?
It is.
I thought it was an action.
Nobody does those.
It is by the people who did
Neo?
Yeah, Neo. It's like that. Okay.
Nobody does Souls. A lot of people copy Souls. Nobody does it
It's Souls like. Yeah. It is more it's probably more akin to Neo than Souls, but than like Dark Souls. Similar concept, right? Like your experience you need to bank it. If you die, you lose it.
Yeah.
Or you need to recover it at least. You know, very, very similar in concept, but it is level based as opposed to, you know, open world like that. But I think it's more in line with how I want to play those games. But
did you beat the second boss of Demon Souls?
No.
No.
No, and I think I think, you know, not to derail what's coming out this month, but yeah, I think my problem is like I listened to people and they were like, oh, you should be a mage because that'll help you get through, and then I have to fight this giant boss that you have to get up close on. And
oh, so you are a mage. I told you not to be a mage. I told you.
Yeah, but then like I watched a bunch of videos and they were like, you should be this person, not a mage, but I guess royalty or whatever. So you have like Soul Arrow, which is a cool spell.
Yeah,
and you do have a sword, but like you have to fight this fucking second boss. You need to get up on its ass, and get behind it. And it's like I'm just not able to do it.
You know, it's cool though when you play like that type of class. As you get later, you'll get, you know, a heavy soul arrow, then a great heavy soul arrow, and like you're throwing these fucking spells that are just fucking amazing looking. Like you look like you're a boss throwing the spells, but. Mm-hmm. Starting off, yeah, you're just throwing the pew, like the little like I'm throwing a little blue ball at you, you know, and yeah.
And I think I probably wouldn't be as frustrated with it if like if I could save like right outside the boss area, right? But instead, I need to do this fucking gauntlet each time, and like sometimes I make it, sometimes I don't. And that's fucking frustrating. But
go grind it up.
Yeah, but I'm on like the second level, so like, do I just keep grinding like the fucking like first area? Like it's boring as fuck.
Yeah, that is the downside of that. Shit.
What else was coming out, Earl?
Ghostwire Tokyo, which I just assumed was ages away.
Yeah, it's real soon. They released some sort of visual novel on the PS5 too. Related to that.
Yeah, Kirby. Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which I'm just happy it's coming out because I don't have to go through Summer Game Fest seeing that game 10 times.
It's always in the games coming soon section. Yeah. Like, you look on Xbox or Tina's. Who gives a fuck?
It drove me nuts because, like I said, like, you know, Summer Game, like, it was everywhere during Summer Game Fest. And not only was it everywhere, they weren't showing gameplay. It was like the same teaser trailer. And it's like, tune in for gameplay soon. I'm like, yeah, just show me the damn gameplay. Let's all be gentle people here. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a pretty decent March. And it kind of rolls into April, like what Chris was saying, because we still get stuff like, there goes Star Wars, the Complete Saga, whatever it's called, is like the first week of April.
Yep. Yeah, like the beginning of April is actually, for me at least, like seems pretty cool. Like it's a Lego Star Wars, the Chrono Cross remaster, and then Advance Wars 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, Twitch Sports is out that month.
Oh, yeah. What the, this is a crazy year. It's been very good.
I think out of those, I would maybe get Switch Sports, maybe just because I like the aesthetic of it. Of I always love like the graphics of Wii Sports.
They're fun.
Is that a weird thing?
No,
it's like super generic looking, but it's like a style. Yeah,
it's like it's a happy style though. It's like soothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff coming out. All right. Well, Earl, you're traveling this weekend?
Yes, I'm going to Jeff's hometown.
Oh, are you going to Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, or you could come to DeKalb too, but not much to see here.
It's a tight. We'll see. Because
saying like in the loop or like in the you know like in the
no, downtown, I'm not going to Chicago. I'm going to the suburbs of Chicago.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to Arlington.
Arlington Heights.
Yeah, I guess.
You said Arlington.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to Arlington Heights. That's close enough to like see like some good food places. You know,
yeah, like. It's a thing of a jig we do where it's basically a college get together, and we pick like a big movie so that we have like an activity. So this weekend, of course, is for the Batman.
So where are you seeing the Batman? You know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was just like, as long as somebody got the tickets already, I'm content.
No one's seen it yet, right?
No, it's the one rule my friends have is I'm not allowed to see the movies before we hang out. Because they know if it was up to me, I would have gone to like the screening on Tuesday night.
I can see that. I hate superhero movies, but like Batman's like stands apart for me, and like.
And based off reviews and feedback, it stands apart from a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it looks
positive
good,
and negative. Like, me, so
yeah,
I am very curious to see how it does in the box office because it sounds like it's a really good movie, but it also sounds like it is 3 hours of like not the.
It's 2 hours. I'm planning in that seat this weekend. I'm there if it's 2 hours.
No, but 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going probably. Like I want to see it at home at that point. Like it's just too long.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, that's another debate for another show. But I do think that there is a discussion to be had about the fact that I like a really good immersive movie, but it does take a lot of effort to really pan to be like, okay, I'm just gonna like not do anything with my life for 3 hours. So even if I love this movie, I can't imagine I'm gonna see it too often. Because I've seen like Zack Snyder's Justice League twice. I'm like, okay, I think I'm good for a while.
I don't have a problem with like the movies being long. I really don't. Like I thought that Justice League felt fine. You know, this would probably be awesome 3-hour movie, but for me personally, it's just like the being at the theater for that long things. Like you just get bored. You know, it's not like you're chilling at your house. Like
if it's a really good movie, like, I would get invested. I don't.
Yeah.
I to me, 2.5 hours totally fine in the theater. When it goes to 3, because of the there's like 40 minutes of fucking trailers beforehand. Like there's times when the trailers are done where I'm like, I'm getting antsy already. The movie hasn't even started yet. It's like...
I do think that is something. Some movie theaters are pretty good at it, but I do think that's something that like if somebody like if you know if a movie says like it starts at 6, show up like 6:15 ish. Especially
even at the earliest, dude, because like they do the Coca-Cola commercials, they do the you're so happy to be at AMC commercials, like. On top of the trailers, like, it really, I've timed it once. Like the last time I went, I think it was 35 minutes.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm sitting here for 35 minutes watching commercials.
Yeah. And this is this is honestly probably the only big movie of the month. So
it'll be, yeah.
You're going to get a lot of trailers.
Heavy trailers. Yeah. It looks cool, though. I'm excited to see it when I do see it. I might, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Let me rent it.
I will say this much that I do. Oh, I don't think we talked about this. We talked about the movie itself, but Uncharted is actually doing pretty decently at the box office, which surprised the hell out of me. So I'm assuming we're going to be hearing about an Uncharted 2 soon.
Can't wait.
Yeah, the only problem with Uncharted 2 is like usually like, oh man, I can't wait. They can like, you know, I want them to improve this, that, and the third. But the big problem here is like, as much as like Tom Holland and Mark, they don't embody those characters to me.
Did you like the movie?
It's fine. It's enjoyable enough. Like I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh, this is, but like it's not. You know, like I saw it 2 weeks ago, I guess. And it just kind of exists in my head. Like I could tell you the major action beat at the end with the ship.
Yep.
But that's about it.
I remember like the three big set pieces. Like there's the one in the trailer. Well, there's the one on the plane, which is like the intro kind of one.
Yes. But see, part of it is for me is like I'm like Tom Cruise did that better in Mission Impossible.
Yes, 100%.
Honestly, is that Ghost Protocol?
I believe you know. So. Where he's on the side of the plane. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's the one in the auction house where he's going across the lights.
Oh right, I forgot that happened.
And then the big one at the end with the
see the ships. Only thing I. The only thing I remember about the light one is, like, it felt like, oh, he's trying to do the thing from the game where, like, Drake shines on random stuff. And it seems so, like, a lot of that stuff should not carry his weight.
No, and it didn't. He fell.
That is fair.
That is fair. And I did like the sequence, the underground, the catacomb sequence, like, where... But that's more I just like puzzles and shit. I like seeing goofy ass puzzles. I don't know what Jeff is doing.
Yeah, I thought that worked, but part of it, I mean, I guess that's like the game is obtuse because like those puzzles were really not intended for you to solve on your own.
No, not at all.
I'm gonna download Sega for Cross.
That'll be fun for you on the plane. Well, enjoy your trip to outside of Chicago.
Yes. I'm sure I'll make it to Chicago one day.
Go to Gene and Jude's, Earl. You're close to that.
What is Gene and Jude's?
It's hot dogs.
What is your people? Like, don't you folks put the tomatoes and the?
Not there. They're what they make is called a depression dog, like because it's from the depression. It's just kind of like mustard and onions, but they put the French fries on it.
I can support that.
It's so good and it's cheap. It's like I think it's like $3 or something for like the whole thing.
Can they not put the mustard and onions on it?
Yeah, you put whatever. Like you put your options are mustard, onions, relish, sport peppers. You can put whatever you want out of that, but you get fries on the dog no matter what. I mean, you could say no fries, I guess, but why would you do that?
Why?
Yeah.
That seems like the best part of it.
Yeah. I usually like move half the fries off the dog and eat them on the side, but I leave a few on and it actually it tastes good. It's worth it, Earl. Like I'm trying to think of like maybe 30-minute drive from Arlington Heights, if that. I don't know. Like it's you know, you kinda go down one road and you'll get there eventually, like type thing.
I can pitch it to some folks. I was gonna
say I would be surprised if they haven't heard of it.
Oh no, I mean like it's, yeah. I'm sure they've heard of it, but I mean, I can probably pitch it or something because we're seeing Batman. I think like I have it in the afternoon.
You might be going to see Batman, like down the street from that place, like because there's like a big movie theater in Rosemont.
Okay.
Which is kind of in between the hot dog place and the then Arlington Heights.
Well, anyways. Enjoy Batman. Enjoy a possibility of a hot dog. We'll be back next week with, I don't know.
Oh, he's Kirby.
At least Kirby, yes.
I have, like, at least half my Elden Ring stories that I held out on, so I'll have more of those.
more Elden Ring stories from Jeff.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.